Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome back to Paranormal Activity with me, Yvette Fielding, and today we'll be catching up with producer and director of TV's Most Haunted, Carl Beatty. Oh, yes. Welcome to another paranormal episode. And as always, we kick off with this week's fact or fiction. Listen for the answer at the end of the show. So here it is. Can ghosts smell? Is this fact or fiction? What do you think? Fact or fiction? Can ghosts smell? Now then, it's time for our wonderful monthly catch-up with none other than the beautiful, sexy, gorgeous Carl Beatty.
You mean there is a beautiful, sexy, gorgeous Carl Beatty in an ulterior universe?
Oh, shut up. You look
He's
gorgeous.
He's not here. You have to stick with me.
You look lovely. Welcome, welcome, welcome back. Well, we're knackered, aren't we? Let's be fair.
A little tired, yes.
Yes.
Just a little jaded.
Yes.
But enjoying ourselves.
We are. Continuing on from last month, we're still doing our Most Haunted Theatre tour, which is fabulous. Meeting everybody is wonderful, isn't it? In the audience, we love that.
Yeah, do you know what, though? Isn't it lovely to have all these people, these hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, coming out at night just to have an evening with us?
Yeah.
And do you know what? It's funny, you said something last night when you were talking to people. You actually said, it's like everyone's just in somebody's front room. And it was, because we were having some fun, weren't we?
We were, and a lovely gentleman called Lee bought me a glass of wine.
He did. He's not that nice that he didn't buy any of us one.
Yeah, but you didn't put your order in. That's the problem, isn't it? So, we wanted to talk today, because we were chatting, what's really intriguing us at the moment? Firstly, before we get into our paranormal side of things, let me take you back to the time when we were driving back from a theatre show, and we saw...
Yes.
Oh, my God. I spoke to Glenn about it briefly on the last podcast. But me and you were gobsmacked. Just tell us what we saw.
Well, it was a beautiful, dark night, wasn't it? I mean, there wasn't a lot of sort of light from any big cities around, so it was dark. We were just driving back again. The night sky was so pitch black. And then suddenly, we just saw this huge bright light with this tail, but it was so bright, wasn't it? And it went on for, I suppose, probably only about 4 seconds, maybe. But it was there. It was definite. And we both stopped talking, and we just went, huh? And we were trying to say, "Can you see that? Can you see that?" And it was this amazing, and it vanished.
Yeah.
And we were. Obviously, then, from that moment on, we were going, was it a spaceship? Was it something that... Was it a comet? Was it a meteor? Was it something else? And we tried, when we got home, to look at social media, didn't we, to see if anyone had said we saw the same thing. But there wasn't anything on there.
No.
Until you spoke to Glenn.
Yeah, and he was behind us in his car, and he said, yes, I'd seen it too. And it absolutely fantastic. So it was a meteorite, and that colour, that bluey green
beautiful
at the tail end, was just like, oh, it was fantastic.
Well, what a privilege to see it.
I know.
And you think, for those seconds, if we had been, if we'd stopped for petrol, or we'd set back, we set off a few minutes earlier or later, we would not have seen that at that point.
And we were like looking at each other and going, oh my god, we'd just seen that.
Yeah.
It was absolutely fantastic. And then when we came back from... Now, it was either a Most Haunted event or another theatre show, and I can't remember, but this was last week.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was a theatre show, and it was in the early hours of the morning, and we went through past the devil's arse.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
And where the heck were we? We're coming back from Sheffield, that's right.
Yeah.
And you go through this sort of amazing countryside, this sort of mountainous crevice that the road cuts through, yeah. And you drive through it. There's no lights, there's no sound,
we'd filmed
nothing.
There years ago.
Yes, that's
the
right.
Underground caverns.
Yeah, so it was absolutely stunning countryside. So we came back and it was pitch black, and we got to the middle in this road where these huge mountains and rocks were on either side of us, and you stopped the car,
turned everything off, opened the windows, and it was the eeriest thing I think I've ever done. It was because there was nothing else around us, but there was no noise. The mountains around us must have blocked every single noise from anywhere, but you couldn't hear the wind.
No.
You couldn't hear any little animals wandering around, and I absolutely loved it. I just thought, do you know what, if I could, you know, have a camp bed and a sleeping bag, I'd quite happily have slept, and I think I had a good night's sleep.
Do you think so? Because yeah. I said I thought it was creepy.
I thought it
was... I know
it was
beautiful, yeah. But it was... I felt like something was watching us.
Oh, yeah, it was eerie. And
so it was eerie. But then what happened? You called out.
Oh, I did call out. Yeah, we heard some knocking. That was
we got knocking on the car.
We did, yeah, the car was knocking.
Yeah.
From sort of underneath, wasn't yeah. it?
And for those of you who have actually witnessed this knocking, rapping and tapping phenomena, you will know that, you know, it is real. It's not a sound effect that's put on when we do Most Haunted. It's a real phenomena. It was wonderful because there we were, sat in pitch darkness with no sound, windows open, and you said, is there anybody here? And we heard two loud thumps in the car.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, my God. And then I got a bit creeped out.
And you did, yeah. And it was like,
can we go now?
We have to go. Yeah, we have to go. But it was creepy. I'm not. I just felt it was a strange feeling because it was very eerie. Like you said, it was like we were being watched.
Mm.
But I felt somehow quite relaxed there. Mm. Like maybe it was because the sound deprivation. Maybe it's because and sight deprivation. You couldn't see anything when everything was off. Boy, was it!
Yeah,
was it black? It was
so. It really was, and it was. So we were in the Peak District, weren't we? Really,
yes,
it was up
yeah,
that way. And
yeah.
if you've never ever visited these, you know, Blue John Caves, the Devil's Arse. I mean, what a great name! Mm. And if you'd never seen the episode, I think we did a Most Haunted there.
Was it Midsummer Murders? We did there.
Most Haunted Midsummer, something like that.
Midsummer
I can't
Murders.
Even remember what we called it.
Well, it was one of those shows that we were asked to do, wasn't it? And they said, "Oh, why don't you do Midsummer Murders?" We went, that was, just as an offshoot. We went, "Yeah, that's great," because we wanted to see if we could, you know, paranormally find answers to unsolved murders in a way,
right,
or get
yeah.
closer to it. And the trouble with the channel, the way it was every time we got close to something, it was saying, no, we just want to do a ghost hunt. We go, that's just Most Haunted. So it ended up by just doing a Most Haunted
it
in
was.
Midsummer,
that
which was
it.
A shame, because it finding, hopefully, murders or new information yeah. would have been great.
It was great, but I do remember we investigated the Devil's Arse.
We did, and I loved the bit when you were doing your piece to camera. Hello and welcome to the Devil's Arse.
Yes, welcome to the Devil's Arse. That was great.
Because the channel actually asked us to take that out.
Was that,
and we actually said, you can't. That's what it's called. They thought we were messing about.
So speaking of the devil,
yes.
This is what we kind of wanted to talk about today, which is violent encounters.
Mm.
And a lot of people, the reason why I want to talk about it is whilst we're doing the theatre tour, so many people are asking us about, you know, what's the most frightening, awful, paranormal experience that you guys have had on an investigation, you know, and how it affected us, that sort of thing. So I wanted to talk really about that today. I mean, I've spoken many a time on the podcast about the things that have affected me and how scared I was. But what about you? Because many people will ask, you know, Carl and Stuart and other members of the team, you know, you seem to get the scratches, the burn marks, that sort of thing. And I didn't think it was possible for ghosts to harm you until things started happening to you guys. And there is a reason for that. Well, we think there's a reason for that, because I have never been scratched. I've never been burned. So tell us about, you know, why do you think it happens to you guys?
Again, it's one of those things that we always kind of talk about energy. And as we, again, always keep saying, there's no such thing as a paranormal expert. You keep hearing that being thrown around. There are no paranormal experts. The only experts are dead people. Mm. Everyone else just has experiences and ideas. But I think it's energy. And I know you're a believer of that too. and actually most of us on the show are, because I think if you generally put out a passive energy of please come and talk to me, you know, don't do anything too bad, and that's generally what you get. Yes, you do get some quite loud stuff happening, but you don't get actually attacked.
No.
Whether the likes of, say, Stuart myself, we want that. I want that full-on interaction with whatever is there and as violent as it can be. Because once it leaves its mark on you, you have no doubt that that thing was there. You know, you didn't do it to yourself. When these things happen in front of camera, where people go back to, was it Nidri Vaults? Edinburgh Vaults.
Vaults.
Where, you know, Stuart had been in front of a camera for 20 minutes. And then, you know, his back was scratched. And when you took his jacket off, the blood was just starting to come through. So the scratch had only just happened. Mm-hmm. Now, that happened in front of camera. You couldn't see it happen, but it happened. Mm-hmm. So that, to me, is evidence, clear evidence, that something out there can actually interact you in such a way that it can mark your body. Mm-hmm. And I know you've got scientists coming up with all manner of ridiculous hogwash. Yeah, they seem to want to refuse to actually believe what is in front of their eyes. Mm-hmm. Instead of doing the mature thing and the scientific thing of saying, well, that has happened. Let's look further into what could have done it, how it could have happened. But that's a scientific thing, and that's where we need to go with all of this. But it happens to us because we go there, we're a little bit disrespectful, we put out that negative energy, and I think we get that negative energy back. And same thing with Hafner Glen, you know, when the chairs almost hit him. Stuart and I decided not to do that. We took a step back and Glenn did that. He put the negative energy out there and the negative stuff happened to him.
If you've not seen that episode of Most Haunted, you can actually watch it. It's on the YouTube channel, Most Haunted official YouTube channel. It's called Violent Encounters.
Yeah.
And as you say, that was an episode where, you know, Glenn had said, oh, blimey, nothing really happens to me. And so you and Stuart took a step back and he went around the property shouting out, go on, do things to me, harm me.
Yeah.
And the chair narrowly missed his head.
And it did narrowly miss his head. You know, it was that point where camera pans down. You know, we hear the chair hitting the floor and the camera pans down and you actually see the leg of the chair is touching his foot. I was about sort of an inch or half an inch from his foot. So that's how close it came to potentially killing him. And you know, as he said in his own mind, this is a sceptic, as he said, he saw the there were three chairs in total that went, and the second chair, he said he saw floating in the middle of the stairwell with no one holding it. It was just floating there, stayed there for a couple of seconds before it dropped. So there is an energy there that can do this. And but I think that for me, you hear different stories where you don't have to have that negative vibe, that negative poltergeist activity just happens and can happen for years to a family. And it can just start for no reason, or something can trigger it off. And these people haven't been negative. These people haven't been, come on, do what you want and all that kind of stuff. And those are the ones that intrigue me too. I mean, there's so many different stories. I mean, there's one in Coventry where a lady was convinced that this poltergeist, for some strange reason, took a dislike to their dog and killed it by throwing it down the stairs.
Yeah.
And that's... This is a... Dogs generally, unless they're really unfit, they don't fall downstairs and certainly don't throw them downstairs. But this happened to this dog, an otherwise healthy dog, and it was, you know, broken by the time it got to the floor. So what was the occurrence there? What made that specific thing happen? Nothing had happened before and nothing seemingly had happened since. But something did not like that dog. The dog had been there for years.
How bizarre that just like that... that happened.
Yeah.
Like you say, what triggered it? What made that happen?
Well, there's others. You've got a house in Delaware where three ladies, three generations of the same family, the grandmother, mother and daughter or granddaughter, were in a house together. And they would, apparently it was a very unhappy house. They were arguing all the time, but there was no paranormal activity happening until one night they were in the middle of an argument and apparently one of them just saw a mug on the top move, short distance, while they were arguing. Then they heard this huge smash where this crystal ornament had been thrown across the room in another room and smashed on the wall. Things started to happen. They left the house. They came back the next morning. They were there for only about 30 minutes because of their energies were there. They heard smashing in the kitchen. Glasses were smashed. Crockery was being thrown. The things that they held dear were being hurled across the rooms. And the grandmother, this was the first time it became a targeted attack, because something was aimed directly at her. It missed her, but only just. And then they called the police. The police couldn't do anything about it because they were saying, there's no one here. They called a paranormal investigator there, who said that they had been hit by another glass that had been thrown down a corridor. But after that, it seemed it became more personal, because they were all witnessing bite marks, scratching on their own bodies throughout the day. They'd wake up with them in the mornings, but sometimes it would happen just throughout the day. Now, there are other stories where some people believed that the mother was doing it, but if that were the case, she was throwing things. How can you do that with two other people in a room and then not see it? Mm-hmm. And how do you scratch them and bite them without them knowing it's you? So again, that, I believe, is a poltergeist activity caused by the spirits getting tired of the upheaval, getting tired of the negativity. It's like they want it to shut up, they want it to stop, and they want it to go.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Welcome to Mum's the Word, the parenting podcast,
where we answer the questions you want to hear about parenthood
and provide you with real, honest advice for every stage of your parenting journey.
Whether you're a parent-to-be, a new mum like me, navigating those sleepless nights,
or a more experienced parent facing the challenges of raising older kids like me,
we've got you covered with relatable stories, expert insights, and plenty of laughs along the way.
So grab your headphones, a cup of coffee, or maybe something stronger,
and let's get real about parenting.
We're not going to be sugarcoating anything. From punamis to piles, nothing is off limits at Mum's the Word.
It's a podcast for all the parents out there, our own little club.
Mum's the Word.
Listen wherever you get your podcast from.
And hit follow so you don't miss an episode.
What was the bite marks? That would be absolutely horrific for me. I mean, we've had scratches and burns, but bite marks? Absolutely awful. It's almost like, for me, it's like, well, that's actually leaving an imprint of teeth in skin. How does that work? How does that compute? And it annoys me, like you say, that science isn't looking into this and taking it more seriously, because there are loads of cases worldwide going back, oh my God, thousands of years. When you look at these different kinds of hauntings, there's records of this sort of thing going on. So there's definitely something happening, but how is it happening and why? And then there's a thought of, we spoke, didn't we, about, and in one of the podcasts, I think this was about 2 years ago, we spoke about a gentleman who was pushing high levels of EMF into a particular yes. room. And that room then, all the electrical objects started moving on their own, things were levitating and so on. So is poltergeist activity particularly violent? Is that like ultra huge measures of EMF? Is there something going on with the atmosphere that they're managing to change so they can manifest and bite somebody? You know, something's got to be happening where the atmosphere is changing for this sort of thing to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I think that can it happen from just trauma? Because I know we're talking about what happens inside of a building and in a room or whatever, but there's in Stoke Lacey, there's a piece of road where in 2002 there were 26 car crashes into the same fence in an 18-month period. And people in the cars described that the wheel was being taken out of their hands and they were steered into this fence.
How weird.
Now, later on, there's stories. Some people say it was a historian, some people say it was a psychic. We haven't got the name, so it'll take that for what you will. But they were saying that apparently a lady had crashed her car into that fence. You know, is this her spirit, her replaying the trauma of what happened to her into the people who are driving down there? But that's an awful lot of crashes in a very short period of time on the same piece of road and the same fence. I mean, we've heard lots of stories about haunted highways and
cars
and people seeing spirits. But this is one where something manifests itself inside your car. That's an area that whatever this poltergeist is, and it is poltergeist because it is moving something, is grabbing the steering wheel out of your hands, is in a foreign object. It's not in a house that it lived in. It's not in a house it was murdered in. It's not in a room that it was locked in. This is out in the open, and this is something that's travelling along. You know, cars are whatever. I don't know what the speed limit is, but let's just say it's a 40-mile-an-hour speed limit. They're still travelling at 40 miles an hour for this thing to manifest its inside, use its energy to take a steering wheel out of your hands and crash into, at precisely the right time, that it crashes you into precisely the right place. Mm. And I find that fascinating.
Yeah, me
because
too.
It goes to show that with all of this stuff, and as you and I have said so many times, no matter how long you do it, you get less answers but come away with more questions.
Mm.
Because everything is individual. And we'll never truly know until, obviously, we go over the other side. And then we're probably, as soon as we all pop our clogs, we'll go over there and we'll go, that's why.
Do you know, I'm just thinking, I have an image in my mind of this car being, you know, somebody driving and the wheel being taken out of their hands, as it were, and crashing into this fence. And you just think, I wonder how many unexplained deaths there are. And you think to yourself, I wonder if, has a ghost killed anybody? Has a ghost murdered anybody? Because the police, they can't work out who's done it. And I wonder if there are cases in the police vaults all over the world of really weird, unexplained deaths. I mean, spontaneous combustion, you know, we all know about that. And that very famous picture of the old lady that was sort of, you know, I think her leg is sticking out the fire, isn't it, or something, and she just completely disappeared. And you think to yourself, well, what caused that? You know, I mean, I don't want to go into spontaneous combustion because we've talked about it, but, you know, could something have, I don't know, flicked some ash or, you know, flicked a lump of coal onto a dress and it started a fire? Could somebody, and these creepy videos you see of like the underground or a train station, and there's somebody stood at the edge of the platform and it seems as if they've been pushed.
Yeah, yeah.
That's weird as well.
I think it's strange with all that, especially when you hear the reports from the fire departments that say they don't know how the fire started. Because, you know, these people know everything. Yeah, they can see where if somebody lit a match and started something. So for that, and for them to come and say, well, we don't know where the combustion was, but it was, you know, it, because it wasn't the fire, it wasn't this, that fascinates me. But I think that when you said this a year or so ago, when you first said about this, could ghosts kill, I'd never even thought of that before, and it opened up this whole thought process of, and you know, we've talked about it a lot since, that I wonder if they could, because I always say, well, no one's died from a ghost hunt, but how do we know? Yeah, there are people who have died and they say they don't know how they've died.
Yeah.
There's people that let's go back to Transylvania, the mouth to hell that was supposed to
people
be.
People being dropped down the well.
And they came back and they died of fright. Yeah. So something down there had frightened them. Yeah. Whether that was a ghost or whether it was their fear of being dropped out or whatever. But people can die of fright. Your body can shut down from fright. And I don't quite know how that would manifest itself, because especially if you're in a room that you haven't told people that it's haunted and then something happens and you die of fright, people aren't going to go, oh, they died of fright.
No, they're going to say, oh, she died naturally. But going back to the fire, now let's just go back to Codnor Castle and your jacket going up in flames, your sleeve, and the doll bursting into flames. Again, we've talked about this before, but we know because the Cheshire Fire Brigade did analysis on the doll and your jacket sleeve, and they said there was no ignition point, there was no accelerant used. It was a complete mystery to them. So if we're talking about negative, evil entities that can do these things, they can start fire. We've seen it with our own eyes.
Yes, yeah.
They can start fire. So, I mean, some of these tragic cases where fires just suddenly start in the middle of the night, the fire brigade, as you say, they've got no clue how it started. Could it have been a poltergeist, a negative energy that started it?
Again, that's another question, because the more we do this, the more mysteries you see. And this is one thing, I know we keep going about scientists, but they're very happy when there's any kind of confusion or, you know, 1 + 1 doesn't actually equal 2, that they dismiss it. They go, oh, it's just mysterious. And you go, no, that's your job is to find out. You don't believe in mystery. You don't believe in, you have to have, you know, this equation for that to work. So just don't dismiss it. And they do dismiss so much because, one, they don't know what it is, and they're not intelligent enough to admit they don't know what it is, and two, they're afraid of it. And I think that the latter is more often the point. I'm not knocking all scientists, because some out there are really trying to look into this, but they're getting pushed back all of the time. I mean, what's that guy we were
ancient
looking at?
Civilizations. Yeah. He's a journalist, isn't he? And he's just for those of you who haven't seen it, it's on Netflix. Ancient Civilizations, absolutely fantastic.
It's just the things, you know, he looks at some of these ancient civilizations, and because scientists say we couldn't have built anything specific, what was it, until 6,000 years ago, before 6,000 years, and yet he has this proof of these places where they dated it back to beyond 11, 12, and in some places they've dated it to 20,000 years ago. And what's his name? Graham Hancock,
yeah.
And yet all the scientists are literally trying to, not all the scientists, there are certain scientists and papers trying to discredit the man because he's proving them wrong.
Yeah, and they're being very rude about it as well, aren't they?
Absolutely, and they should be ashamed of themselves. Yeah. It's their job to open up this universe, not close it down. And we, all the people that are trying to open it up, like we're all trying to do, we're saying to them, come have a look. I mean, how many times have you put out there, scientists come along board? We're the only paranormal show that's had journalists regularly come on board our shows, that we've constantly invited scientists. We've had a couple in the past. They walk away with, I have no idea what this is. This is something in his investigation. Never hear from them again. Because they can't quantify it. They can't deny it. And they're afraid to agree with it.
You're absolutely right. And I think we spoke about that last time you were on. You had a good old rage.
Sorry, I've had another one, haven't I?
You've had another one.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. It's clearly something that, I mean, it really does. We're very passionate about it. Do you know, I've got this image in my mind of flipping bite marks now. I'm going to scare myself to death when I go to bed tonight.
I should be so lucky.
I'll be checking my arms and everything in the morning for bite marks.
Again, it's what you said just earlier. It's this point of, if there are bite marks, there have to be teeth.
Yeah.
And this is the thing. So, and it's like the scratches. To create a scratch, there has to be a claw or there has to be nails. And so you think, are these things manifested onto the body or are they purposely inflicted onto the body?
Exactly. And that's the thing. That's the thing that I would love to know. And maybe, you see, that's the other thing. When we get like my dad coming through, tapping away, and or other spirits coming through that are happy to chat, when you ask specific questions about that sort of thing, it goes quiet.
Yes, it does.
It really
yeah,
does
yeah.
go quiet. Or you ask about religion or God or UFOs or anything, it normally goes very quiet, which is highly frustrating. And I don't know, are there laws on the other side forbidding people, you know, oh, we can't say too much? I don't know. And it fascinates me when you get other people that I've seen on social media or whoever who are coming out with so much information that I find absolutely fascinating. You know, where are they getting this information from? You know, are they getting it from the same kind of sources that we're getting it? Or are they getting it from, I mean, there's one guy, I've forgotten his name, but he says he gets possessed or is in communication with an alien race and they're talking to him. You know, and giving out that information. But you see, it's so easy for people to poo-poo it and laugh.
Absolutely.
But, you know, and we have to take it on face value, don't we? You have to sort of go, okay, you know, you're saying this, seeing is believing, you know.
But you go back, if you go back 100 years, 150 years, and if somebody said, oh, I've seen into the future, and we would be doing this, you and I would be talking into this thing called a microphone with a computer, and somebody many, many miles away would be recording it and putting it out on the airways for everyone to listen to, they'd think you were mad.
Yeah.
They would say, absolutely. And scientists of the day would say, no, that can't happen.
Yeah.
So I think we have to keep an open mind on everything, and what is possible, what is impossible today becomes possible tomorrow. But that includes what we don't understand. What we don't understand today, we should strive to understand for tomorrow.
I like that, and that's a great note to finish on. I just want to ask your opinion on this. So, here we go. So, let's get the answer to this week's fact or fiction. And to remind you, it was...
Can ghosts smell? Does that mean can ghosts sort of sniff and smell something, or do ghosts smell?
Well, for me, I would definitely say it would be fact, because when I say smell, i.e. they smell of tobacco or they smell of flowers or the, you know, but I wouldn't have said that terrible smell of BO or farts. I always remember that time in the bedroom and I heard a fart and it wasn't me, and I said, was that you? And you said no. Do you remember? And we also heard a burp. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're normal sort of sounds when I'm sleeping next to you, though, aren't they?
But we stood looking at each other with hands up. It wasn't me. Well, it wasn't me.
The burp happened while we were looking at each other, so we couldn't...
we knew it wasn't us. And that was funny. Anyway, can ghosts smell? So what do you think? Fact. Absolutely fact. Ghosts indeed have a fascinating connection to scents. According to paranormal beliefs, certain smells are associated with spirits or ghosts. And the most common odour reported linked with spirits is a fresh flower smell. And ghosts are said to emit scents like jasmine, lilac and rose. Also, lavender is very popular as well. We've smelt that, haven't we, in roses. Yeah. These floral scents are often connected to loved ones who have recently passed away. Some spirits display unique scents that are closely connected to them whilst they were alive. These connection scents can include a pipe or cigar smoke. We smelt my dad's cigarette smoke, didn't we?
Yeah.
A specific cologne or perfume, or even the smell of cooking foods or brewing coffee. And it's believed that these familiar scents are used by departed loved ones to assure their presence during times of pain or joy.
But isn't there also the smell of sulfur, which is a negative thing?
Which is a negative. Well, absolutely. So maybe their soul is so putrid and horrible, they just expel this horrible, just nasty smell. Do you remember when we were in that lift at the Nottingham Gallows of Justice? Rotting flesh smell. And we went on the Michael Ball show. Oh my God. And he said, well, what did it smell like? I said, well, it smelled like death. And he said, that's what I smell like after a bad curry. The smell of death. Oh, Michael Ball, we love you. Right, okay, get in touch with myself and share your stories. Please do. Here's the email address. It's contact@paranormalpod.co.uk. We are on WhatsApp and the phone number is 075-999-27537. If you have a question for Carl or want to even leave a message for Carl or, of course, Glenn about UFOs, then please do that as well. We are on Instagram and our handle is @paranormalactivitypod, where we share photographs and videos that you send in to us. Stay up to date with the newest episodes by giving us a follow, and I'll be back again same time next week. But if you can't wait until then, visit www.paranormalpod.co.uk. UK, where you can find options to get episodes a day early. Have a great week. Stay safe. Go on, you can sew the end bit. And remember,
things aren't always as they seem.
Is that good? That was a bit Julian Clary.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, I was trying to be sort of low and sultry. Do you want to do it again?
Yeah, go on then.
Things are not always as they seem. No, just do it normally. Things are not always as they seem.
Oh, just shut up. Remember, things aren't always as they seem.
Oh, I see.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.